Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. It is written, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. It is written, by faith Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac, yea, he that received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of life o'ertake me, hopes deceive and fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy. And when the sun of bliss is beaming, light and love upon my way, from the cross the radiance streaming adds more luster to the day. Pain and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure. Joy that through all time abides. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. Abraham offers up Isaac. The first time the word love is found in the Old Testament is in the story of Abraham offering up Isaac as a burnt offering in Genesis chapter 22. God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. It is more than a coincidence that the first time love is mentioned in the New Testament is when God said at the baptism of Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The first mention of love in the Old Testament was the love of a father for his only son. And the first mention of love in the New Testament is the love of the Heavenly Father for his only Son. Both were only sons by a miraculous birth. Sarah was past the age of childbearing when Isaac was born. It may not seem at first glance that Isaac was indeed an only son of Abraham. For God's present purpose, Ishmael had already left home. Sarah was the one who had the idea that Abraham should have a son by Hagar. This was not the first time that Sarah had problems with the promise of God. The first time she heard an angel tell Abraham that she would have a son, she laughed, since she was well past the age of childbearing. Genesis 17, verse 17 informs us that Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah 90 years old, before Isaac was born. She did not think that the angel knew she laughed, seeing as how she was in the tent. So when the child was born, they called him Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Isaac was a walking, living, breathing miracle, considering the age of his parents at his birth. Jesus, in similar manner, had a miraculous birth. The angel Gabriel told Mary that the power of the Most High will overshadow thee, wherefore the holy thing that is begotten in thee shall be called the Son of God. Now God tempted Abraham to offer Isaac, his son, as a burnt offering. Actually, God never tempts anyone to do evil. But he does tempt us, even as he tempted Abraham, to do good. So this was a great test of Abraham's faith. Abraham had been tested before. The first time he was tested was when God told him to leave home and his kindred and go to a place that he would be shown. Paul says in Hebrews that Abraham, by faith, went out not knowing where he was going. He was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Many today have had the same test of their faith. Sometimes it is hard to leave the convictions of family and friends in the matter of their religious convictions and follow the Lord God. They have gone to the cemetery and are hiding behind the tombstone of their ancestors and their parents. Remember, Jesus said, "He that loveth father or more than me is not worthy of me." Not many are like the preacher I know who told me that when he became a Christian, his parents disowned him. It is hard to find a person who has the faith of Abraham, a person who will heed the call of the Lord Jesus, and if necessary, leave kindred and even homeland to serve the Lord. But this test was different. No crowd would stand by applauding if he won the victory. No medal would be struck in his honor. No stamp would be issued with his picture on it. No statue would be erected commemorating the event. This would be a cold, naked test of faith. Was he going to obey God or not? Abraham was at the point of life when he thought he could put his life on cruise control and coast on home. But ladies and gentlemen, such is never the case. Sometimes the greatest trials in life are reserved for advanced years. It was not as a young man that David did the adultery and murder thing. He was in the middle life. And it is not as a young man that Abraham had his greatest trial, but as an old man. Actually, there will never come a time at any age in our lives when we will not have trials of one way or another. The first thing I said when I was born was a loud yell, because I knew I was in for it. Ahab, the most wicked king of Israel, had good advice in answer to the threats of Ben-Hadad, the Syrian, who threatened to wipe Israel off the map. In 1 Kings 20, verse 11, Ahab told him, "Let not him that girdeth on his armor boast himself as he that taketh it off." So remember, it is he that endures unto the end. The same shall be saved. Trials will come to us all. Now, this test of Abraham would be a test that was needed. Abraham had reached a place in life where he could proudly say, Isaac is my boy. Everything depends on Isaac. He's the child of promise. We live in the same syndrome today. Everything depends on our money. Everything depends on our talent. Everything depends on our inheritance. No, money can be lost and all else. Everything depends on God. Isaac could be taken away from Abraham. So Abraham meets his greatest trial head on. God said, offer up Isaac as a burnt offering. So Abraham rose up early in the morning and started chopping wood for the burnt offering. He would have known what Paul would say later on. He conferred not with flesh and blood. You see, to put something off, you may never get to it. So Abraham rose up in the morning and began to chop the wood for the burnt offering. Abraham did not take anybody into his confidence. He never even asked Sarah about it. There are some matters in the Word of God that we had better not confer with flesh and blood. God said in Genesis 6, verse 3, My spirit shall not always strive with men. So Abraham rose up early in the morning. And now Abraham, as he rose up early in the morning with these two servants, his son Isaac and the donkey, loaded with the wood he had chopped, started for the mountain that God told him about. He lifted up his eyes on the third day and saw the place. Ladies and gentlemen, when you read about the third day in Scripture, there's a good chance that you are standing on resurrection ground. And this is no exception. It was on the third day of creation that the waters moved back and the dry land appeared. That was the first resurrection on the third day, and it would not be the last. Then, too, we are reminded of the words of Peter when he said, A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. From that perspective, the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven just the day before yesterday. The third day is this, the 21st century. Jesus arose from the dead early on the third day. We are now living early on the third day since Jesus went away. We are not making any predictions, but it is an interesting thought. Abraham lifted up his eyes on the third day and saw that awful place where he would offer up Isaac as a burnt offering. Abraham told the young men, the two of them, to wait while he and the lad went to the top of the mountain to worship, and we will come down again to you. But what did they do when they worshiped? There are different types of worship systems in the Word of God. One is in Job, the first chapter, verse 20, where we read how Job worshiped after his sons were killed by a tornado. Job worshiped by shaving his head and fell upon the ground and worshiped. I knew one preacher who used that form of worship on one occasion in a time of great stress. He fell down upon the floor and put his nose in the carpet and prayed. Then we read of another form of worship in Acts 10, the 25th verse, that Cornelius, a Roman centurion, fell down before Peter and worshiped him. Now, this type of worship was totally unacceptable because Peter himself raised him up and said, Stand up. I myself also am a man. And then another form of worship at Athens was unacceptable to Paul also in chapter 17, verse 16, when Paul saw the city full of idols, images of God in the likeness of men. And Paul told them to repent. The worship of Abraham and Isaac must have been like the worship Jesus talked about when he said in John 4:23, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Abraham loaded the wood from the donkey on the back of Isaac, took fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. There were two people that ascended the mountain of sacrifice, the Father and the Son. Think you not that when Jesus staggered up the bloody slopes of Calvary, he went alone? The Father had just as much to do with it as the Son. They both of them went together. Isaac carried the wood up the hill, and in John 19, verse 17, they took Jesus, therefore, and he went up, bearing for himself the cross. Isaac carried the wood, and Jesus carried the wood. Abraham was not only willing to offer up his son as a burnt offering, but God the Father was willing to give his only begotten son. But not only was Isaac in the prime of life, he was a strong man at that. He was loaded up with a donkey's load of wood to carry up the hill to the place God had chosen. That indicates that Isaac was willing to go along with this plan as well as his father Abraham. Had he wanted to escape, he could easily have overcome the aged Abraham. God the Father was willing, and God the Son was willing to give his life also. Jesus had said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. No one taketh it from me. Then on the way up the mountain, Isaac asked his father a very important question. My father, here is the wood for the burnt offering, and here is the fire, but where is the lamb? Abraham told him, God will provide for himself a lamb, my son. Where is the lamb? The lamb is to be found at the cross. The Apostle John said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Where is the lamb? Well, when Philip preached the Ethiopian eunuch, he began with that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. The scripture where he began told of a lamb who before his shearer was dumb. When the Ethiopian heard about the slain lamb, he wanted to be baptized. Where is the lamb? He is to be found in the waters of baptism because Paul said, We are buried with him in baptism. And here's an example as to how the burial was done. They went down, both of them, into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Where is the Lamb? He is in heaven on the throne interceding for Christians. Where is the Lamb? John in Revelation sees him there when he said, Salvation to our God who sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb. Where is the Lamb? Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb, my son. And he did. Then when they came to the place, Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order. When Elijah built the altar on Mount Carmel and brought down fire out of heaven, he first laid the wood in order. In Leviticus, in the telling of offering a sacrifice, they always laid the wood in order. After laying the wood in order, Abraham bound Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac was bound, and so was the Lord Jesus Christ. They bound him and led him away and delivered him up to Pilate the governor. Ladies and gentlemen, people still bind the Lord Jesus Christ today. The hands of Jesus are bound by a congregation when about one-third to a half of the members show up for the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. Certainly the Lord's hands are bound by the 2% average across the board of all church groups in their giving. He is bound by the ignorance of his own people in their knowledge of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is limited as to how much he can do because we have bound him. So Isaac was bound and laid on the altar. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. His hand was raised, and at that moment an angel called unto him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." The angel said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." By saving the life of Isaac, God shows that human sacrifice is not acceptable. This was the sin that Stephen accused Israel of doing in his defense when he was stoned in Acts chapter 7. Stephen reminded them that their ancestors had taken up the tabernacle of Moloch in 2 Kings 21. There's an example of King Manasseh making his son pass through the fire to Moloch. Moloch had a hollow belly, a fire inside, his arms outstretched in a cradle position. The infant was laid on the red-hot arms as a sacrifice. The noise of the assembly drowned out the screams of the infant. This was one of the sins that resulted in the Babylonian captivity. One wonders sometimes what fate awaits our beloved America as the millions of babies are sacrificed in the modern-day Moloch of abortion. Hear it again. Lay not thine hand upon the lad. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And he took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Isaac was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in many points. But there's one thing that is missing. The ram was a substitute for Isaac, and there would be no substitute for Jesus on the cross. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this concluding observation about Abraham offering up his son Isaac. Abraham built an altar there on the mountain and called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Abraham had already told Isaac, "The Lord will provide a lamb, my son." And when he saw the place, he knew this was the place where God would provide the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord filled his promise. And then Abraham, with prophetic vision, looked across the chasm of almost 2,000 years to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world and saw the Lamb of God crucified on the cross, raised up from the dead, and after giving the apostles the Great Commission, ascending back to heaven to the right hand of God. Then Abraham knew that God did indeed provide the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died, a world of lost sinners to claim. Jehovah Jireh. Abraham said, "The Lord will provide a lamb." And the Lord did provide the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord did provide. The Lamb was Jesus, and Calvary is the place. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. Here's the address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. And until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
Your God is just a prayer away.